ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, base down? Hey, how we do it?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It's a Monday edition. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Trust that you guys did on the fields.
Big one this weekend.
Y'all had a big one, or you have a big one coming up?
We had a big one.
Did y'all win?
We lost the championship game, but the girls got their first ring ever.
Second place, first loser. Okay. I'm just kidding.
You got a participation ring?
That's cool.
First and second place always get rings. And as in our first year in 10 and under, and all of our girls are 9, they got rings against an 11-year-old team.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good solid weekend.
Yeah, it was very, very, very pleased. Longhorn Scott, who always calls into the morning show, his daughter was a member of the unbelievably talented team we lost to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so he was talking to me between games.
Good deal. Yeah. Was softball mom Allison out there?
No, not in this tournament. No, this one was the first tournament we've had close to home in 2 years. So it was nice to actually be able to be home in 10 minutes instead of an hour and 15.
Ain't that the truth. Brian, good weekend?
Threw my back out, so not really.
You're moving around pretty good.
Yeah, no, I took like six ibuprofen. That helped.
Whiskey.
Yeah, and then I had a little bit of whiskey before the show, literally. But yeah, no, it's better, much better than Saturday. Bro, I throw it out the lamest ways. I couldn't even tell you what I did. It just moved, and it was like nothing.
You don't know how you threw out your back.
Well, I say that because it wasn't like some significant thing, like I'm moving some, you know, like really heavy equipment or doing a bunch of yard work. I was just doing some stuff around the house and snap your fingers.
That's not a good feeling.
Normally, no, it's not.
Yeah, you normally just have your dad do that for you anyway, right? All the heavy lifting?
No, not exactly.
Okay.
I lost my train of thought. Oh, my IT band.
Well, how was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. My IT band's been messed up for like the last 3 weeks. Like, it hurts to drive the truck. Mm-hmm. It hurts to lay in bed.
I've done that before.
It's not great.
Have you torn your ACL?
No, I'm an athlete.
Okay, because that's usually something that happens to people that tear their ACL like I did in high school, where your IT band starts acting up.
My IT band's been jacked up.
It's not fun.
Need to look up some stretches. Anyways, Astros over the weekend. Good, bad, and ugly. We usually dictate if they've won the series, whether we start with the good. If they lose the series, we start with the bad and the ugly. It's a 4-game series. They split the two. So I'm torn. Now, the fact that they were on the road and that they have a good taste in their mouths leaving Arlington, I lean to start good.
That's fine.
All right, let's start good then. What are the Astros good over the weekend? 713-780-3776. What do you got?
Aside from going just with each individual performance, the first thing that came to my mind was, especially catching up on it for some of the games, the fact that in two of the games that they won, they came back. The fact that in those games early in the season, I would have said they're done. They're finished. After 5 innings, if they're not hitting the baseball at all, literally, or they're down by more than a run or two, that they're not going to come back and win the game. And those games, they came back. They found a way to scratch and claw and get runs across the board. And they got wins kind of in a situation I would call improbable early in the season that I was actually pleased about, especially when you're getting no hit from set for 7 innings. You're like, oh, man, here comes another one where you lose 3 of 4 to the Rangers, and you do it in this fashion, and they found a way to win. So I would say that was my first good.
Al Leiter's baby boy was
was he dealing.
Pretty good against the Astros yesterday. Made the mistake to Yandy Diaz. I mean, Yandy Diaz got him. That's what Dave Raymond was calling him. Calling him Yandy Diaz.
Dave Raymond was not impressive.
Hey, when has he been?
He's just a tough listen, man. I know a lot of people didn't even know who he was, but, like, some of his calls were just, I mean, you could tell he was a Ranger guy, but my goodness.
The Isak go-ahead home run was hilarious to me.
Awful.
Because he was bashing, he did it in a kidding manner whenever he was bashing Altuve a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
But Astro fans, you know, they got a hold of Dave Raymond. And Dave Raymond has history in Houston. He was the radio guy here forever. With Milo, actually. Like, Milo's last couple of years, Dave Raymond and Brett Dolan, like,
That's
did, like, a three-man rotation.
They babysat.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And he was a little bit jaded, I think, with whenever Crane came in here and kind of cleaned house, because he was an odd man out there.
I want to say he's done an interview or two where he kind of all but admitted that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he did it with, it might have been with Granato and Lance.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember him coming out and finally just saying, hey, the way you unceremoniously, got... dismissed from the team was not he held a grudge, and I understand that.
Absolutely.
Me of all
absolutely.
People, I understand.
You, I mean, yeah, anybody could understand that. Now, we don't have to like it as Astro fans, right. Which we're also entitled to. Like, he has the right to not like the Astros for what they did to him, and then we have the right not to like him for the way that he perceives the Houston Astros. It's all well within our rights as Americans. That was the come from behind stuff was good. Isak Paredes is already my favorite Astro.
Mine too.
He's Isak from Mexico. He's my favorite. He's passed Jose Altuve for me. Isak Paredes.
He to me, because of the fact that I knew that he was on their list and they wanted him previously, but then from the time they got him, and I was just I understand that I missed very badly on Mancini when I thought he'd be a good fit with this team in this ballpark with everything when they got him, but I was like, you know what, it just seems like it's there, like he's going to fit in well, and I really believe. Just I had a feel. I really believed that he was going to have, you know, stats that were going to go up against Bregman's last year in Houston. And then I got bold and said, I want to see how he does against Bregman this year in Boston. But regardless, I was like, I believe in this guy, regardless of Walker or anything else. And I thought that was a good signing too. But I was really excited about Paredes and to watch him just progressively get better after a slow start and get hits in every game, big hits when you need them. His command of the strike zone is unbelievable,
yeah.
And I like everything about him.
Easy song from Mexico. Like the avocado from Mexico thing.
Yeah. I didn't get the Blummer with the In Paradise thing, but I get yours.
He's got a better WAR than Kyle Tucker.
By like...
Like 0.3, but still.
So
like he's beating Kyle Tucker in WAR. I've made some Chicago fans mad by saying that. The Chicago fans were in my mentions after
They're
I tweeted that out today.
Address,
not yet. It might just be Joe's burner, though. Like,
okay.
It could be Joe's burner account on X. I don't know. But Isak, that was great to see. Only had the one hit yesterday, but obviously in a very big moment. Almost robbed. Like, Langford was very close to catching that ball that cleared the wall in left field. Astros win it. Take the final game of the series. I had Framber Valdez being good. I thought Framber was good.
Mm-hmm.
He had that one rough inning where he gave up all of his runs. But I thought for the most part he was good. Even that inning, he was kind of getting like nickel and dime to death, just like seeing guy single. Strikes out eight, pitches seven innings, and then was really lucky to get the win because that was the inning where you saw hit the home run.
I had both of them on my list, Framber and Blanco, because I thought Blanco, from where he's been to what he had done, yes, he gets bit by another home run ball, but overall to give you six innings and only give up three runs, he walked three. But at the same time, I thought that that was a start good enough to be a quality start and a good enough start to get a win. So I had both Framber and Blanco on my list.
Yeah, that Blanco pitched fine. I would take that start from Blanco almost every time. Three runs, six innings. Like, it's not going to blow you away in terms of ERA, but he's also not one of your top of the rotation starters.
Right.
And it means he's getting you deep into the game. He's getting you to the back end of the bullpen should you have a lead. So I was pleased with Blanco, too. I didn't have that on my good, but I'm willing to give that on the good. I wanted to mention Espada leaving Framber in the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have it for different reasons.
I got it for different reasons.
I like that he left Framber in the game because it was a very natural time to take him out ahead of that last out he got. Like, he's turning the lineup over. He's about to go through the lineup again. Haggerty's going to see him for another time. I believe that if it wasn't one of your top of the rotation starters, I believe that Espada would have taken him out there if it wasn't Framber or Hunter Brown. So I actually like that Espada went on Phil there a little bit because the analytics are saying don't let him have another time through the lineup,
right.
or have Haggerty get one more look at him. So I do like that Espada, I think, managed that one a little bit more by Phil than analytics, and I like my managers that manage based on vibes and Phil. So I actually tip my cap to Espada for that call.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I think you're right. I thought Framber's stuff was moving all over the place. I thought that, he still gave up, six hits, but at the same time only had one walk. And when you go back and look at it the second time, the way the ball was, his movement, a lot of them started middle, and they were just dancing to the corners and really were helping a lot with getting the Rangers off balance. So, yeah, I'm glad that he gave you seven. And you're probably right. If it's not him or Hunter Brown, I don't think that they do that. Because I totally understand it, how many times a lineup gets to see you. But I think this start, coming off the last start, I feel a lot better about Framber the rest of the way.
What was the Espada thing you had?
I'm glad he finally got ejected. And I'm glad he didn't cover his mouth when he cussed. And I'm glad that he finally showed some emotion on the field. Because it's crazy, we were just talking about this last week. And it annoyed the hell out of me that he was always like Mr. Rogers, but managing a professional baseball team. Like, he was always trying to be so polite and courteous, and he didn't want to ruffle any feathers. And he finally came out and just said, that's effing horrible, on a really bad call to Isak, and then got his ass tossed out. And it was about time, and it wasn't a patsy way of getting thrown out, and I liked it.
I liked it, too, and I felt like he was defending Isak there a little bit. You might need a little bit of what Jose Alvarado had. It still felt calculated.
A little bit.
Like, it felt very forced. Like, that wasn't, like, this just natural progression of a manager getting ejected. Like, he almost tripped on the first step coming out of the dugout. Like, he gets out there, and then he, like, stares at the strike, this, like mysterious strike zone. Like, I like it, too. Like, we're obviously like, making fun of the moment here. Overall, I like it. Were there moments of that argument where I'm like, man, that is super calculated? Yeah. There were some moments in the argument where I'm like, that is super calculated.
Yeah, no, I can understand. He's one of those guys that makes everything look kind of awkward when he tries to do anything other than like mind his P's and Q's.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it even if he was trying to do it, it didn't look great. But at the same time, I just like the fact that he didn't cover his mouth for F-bombs and he showed some emotion and got tossed instead of like pushing it to the limits. And then when the umpire said that's enough, like putting your tail between your legs and running back to the dugout. So yeah. I was pleased with all of that.
Yeah, I am too. It felt forced. It felt like it was calculated. But at the same time, I do like that he was defending Isak. Isak like turned around, was talking to the umpire. Anytime you see that as a manager, you're like, oh, he could get run here. So let me go out there, take the bullet for my guy. And look, that guy ended up hitting the go-ahead home run for you. So I like everything of the ejection too, but also we'll make fun of the ejection a little bit. The last good that I have, and then we'll open it up to the audience, 713-780-3776. Cam Smith started to come around
Is he?
Cam Smith started to come around a little bit.
I almost trolled you on
how so?
Sunday. I was gonna tweet out, boy, I'm glad they never sent Cam down. It was the best decision they ever made, bringing him up from the get-go.
See, I disagree with that. To me, both things are true. Like, a guy can be bad to this point and then start to turn around. They still wasted a year of his service.
Yeah.
So, like, both things are true, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would have messed, just to mess with you, it's kind of like the Jake defense plays mm-hmm. that you like to send me every now and then. But
only when they come up on the air.
Yeah, but
he made a great catch yesterday, too, by the way.
That dude's
so good defensively.
I just start looking at it and going, it can't be that far off and be that far-fetched, especially if Altuve's still struggling. And maybe it is when Altuve's playing second base, but to put Cam and Zach in the same outfield mm-hmm. with Jake Myers, Jake covers a lot of ground so he can make up for a lot of things if those guys aren't reading balls the right way. But my goodness, from an offensive perspective, with Jake still hitting the baseball, that could be a pretty potent offensive lineup.
Yeah. I don't expect him to be a good offensive player, but ride the storm while it's there. And, like, Cam Smith's actually been really good in right field. Like, his defense has been very good.
Got a strong arm. He's athletic. And I've been pleased in the fact that there hasn't been as much confusion as I thought there might be, or like situations where he was like caught in between what to do and then just got flat-footed. He gets good reads on baseballs. I've been pretty pleased with him in right field.
What was I going to say? Like, of the three outfielders that are kind of learning the position, because Altuve, first time to left field, Cam Smith has always played on the dirt. Zach DiCenzo is like a corner infielder that played shortstop in college. They're teaching him the outfield. Good enough athlete, but, you know, they're teaching him the outfield. Of those three, Cam Smith's by far the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By far the best.
Strongest arm.
Mm-hmm. DiCenzo's not bad, but not as strong as Cam.
Sneaky speedy, too. For a guy his size, he's got good speed. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with him early on was just getting the right angles on baseballs. Yep. But normally that takes some time. He's really adjusted well. And then learning, like, the foul areas and where the wall is and things like that, or, like, your ball's going to tail more when you're making a throw to the plate. But all those things, it seems like one play where he learns from it and then he bounces back and he gets it from that point on. DiCenzo's dropped a few fly balls. Altuve, we know he's had some good and some bad. But overall, I can't disagree with you. I think Cam has been the best of the three.
I'm a baseball savant guy. Nerd. Guess what percentile Cam Smith is in sprint speed?
Ooh.
And obviously, like, one's the worst, 100's the best.
83rd.
96.
Ooh.
Like, it's like close to Pena.
Is that the guy? Is he in Tampa? The guy that they've showed where he tags.
Oh, that guy's ridiculous.
He is.
Simpson?
It's like the Flash. Yeah.
Chandler Simpson?
I think that's right.
He can't get on bases. He's like Willie Taveras, but faster.
Yeah, but if they put him in as a pinch runner, it's like if you put him on first, he's on third before you blink
your
eyes.
He's like the Flash.
He is really, really fast.
His Pena sprint speed's 29.6. Cam Smith's 29.4.
That's pretty damn good.
Like, that's
top,
elite.
Top 10 in baseball, right?
Top 5.
Yeah, because Bobby Witt Jr. is up there, right?
I mean, 96th percentile. Like, that's insane. Do you want to guess Cam Smith's, let's go, range? His range in right field, where do you think that is in the percentiles? One the worst, 100 the best.
87.
93. 90s for both. 93. His fielding run value is in the 81st percentile. Like, the dude is a bona fide stud in right field, defensively. A bona fide stud. Now, would have I called him up to start the year? No, I wouldn't have done that. But he's really good defensively. And the splits on Cam Smith over the last 2 weeks, 310 batting average, 412 on base, 379 slug, which you want the slug to be better. But that's good for a 791 OPS in the last 14 days for
take
Cam
it.
Smith. Absolutely, you take it. So there is some development there. There is some progress there from Cam Smith. 713-780-3776. We'll get your good, your bad, your ugly. We'll get to the bad and ugly eventually, too. We'll get to Brian's good, although I'm not sure how much baseball he watched with that back of his being thrown out. 713-780-ESPN. Lots to get to. Mailbag Monday, Rocket stuff, Giannis stuff. 713-780-3776 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Collectively, we are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5,
92.5. Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at doing so many things. He has plastic surgery, spa treatments, Botox. But what I have personal experience with him on is getting my hair back with the Neograft procedure and PRP treatments. Both are absolute game changers. Both work and both get you results. And that's the main thing. And as a listener of ESPN 97.5, if you're listening to me right now and you're interested in seeing if he could help you too, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff right now, which normally costs $150 for people off the street. You get it for free because you're listening to me and you want to talk to him just by going to 975hair.com. You go to 975hair.com. You sign up for that free consultation. You go in. They explain everything to you. You ask questions. They give you answers. And you put it in your back pocket and you walk out thinking, that's something I should consider doing. No signing on the dotted line, money out of pocket, or anything to commit to other than if you do want to go see him and do go through with it, you know you're in great hands and you get the best in the business to get your hair back. I did the procedure with PRP treatments. Could not be happier with it. Basically, the short-term version of it and the cliff notes is you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, so he takes every third or fourth follicle and puts it where you need it most. I needed it in my hairline in front. Some people need it up on top. Wherever you need it, he can do it, and you get to see the follicles there immediately after the procedure. And in 6 to 9 months, you see the full, thick hair growth of hair that's never going to go anywhere because it's being taken from places where it doesn't go away. It's fantastic. It works extremely well, and he'd love to take care of you. He loves taking care of Houstonians. And I just talked to him last week, and he was telling me about the fact that all we need to do through word of mouth and why I sponsor the station is because the more people that do it, they'll realize it works. I'm not trying to make a killing on the money. I just want people to realize they can get their hair back. It's fantastic. Take my word for it. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. Astros good, bad, ugly. Text line. I thought Cam Smith was, though. Lance took me out of context. Never said that. Never said that.
Well, if Jeremy Branham says so, I guess Cam Smith is ass, so.
Never said that.
He was really fired up that day.
He put words in my mouth, and because I'm right so often, it became fruition.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
You see? He admitted it.
I think at one point when I was listening to it, there was he thought he was going to commercial or something like that. He thought he was in break, and he was just unloading.
I think he did that for the cameras.
He turned off the mic.
Yeah, he turned off the mic.
Yeah, he was flipping me off.
Yeah, but he also said it and then caught himself, and instead of like an S bomb, was like crap or something. I was like, woo, yeah. Boy.
And he worked himself up. I didn't even say that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up, Israel? Hello, Israel.
Israel,
call back. Brian screwed it up. His back's jacked up, and he doesn't know how to work the board, apparently. He can't reach to the top of the board.
It hurts
like
when he presses
can.
Buttons.
We apologize on the behalf of Brian McDonald for hanging up on you, Israel. 713-780-3776. Who?
Israel.
No, I don't.
Oh, he's going to go off on how he was right about Cam Smith. Now he's going to have
probably.
He's going to tell us that Cam's actually hitting 328 right now with OPS numbers that are through the roof.
He probably will. Yes. Texture, what's up with Yordan? Yordan has been avoiding the media, but apparently talked to the media like minutes ago. Matt Kawahara, who covers the Astros for the Houston Chronicle, Yordan Alvarez, through an interpreter, said his hand is, quote, getting better, but he still feels it when he swings. Alvarez said he played with the hand hurting for a while, but it reached a point where I had to stop because the hand started getting inflamed. So inflammation of Yordan Alvarez's hand, which I guess this is good news, bad news. Good news is this can, like, defend his poor start. Bad news is the mystery of Yordan Alvarez, the enigma.
Time out. Where are they playing?
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that.
Oh, Tampa?
Yeah. So, won close, the but not close enough. Cities. Next series, we might be in business, boys.
I'm still taken aback that, how long has it been now? 3 weeks? Something like that? But I'm still taken aback that they deemed it so minor that imaging wasn't required, yet it's been 3 weeks or whatever it's been.
But then he did fly back to get imaging.
Begs the question, why didn't you get imaging in the first place?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Tell you. It's the Astros for
you. But we're already past the imaging, and now we're just full-blown, like, take what you can deal with while it gets better.
Apparently he's getting close, according to Espada.
Yeah.
Last time he played in a game was May 2nd, so it's been 17 days since he's last played in a game.
Because McTaggart was saying he's off on this series, but follow whoever's replacing him for the series because there should be Yordan updates, hopefully,
today.
He was going to play, yeah.
I did see in McTaggart's newsletter, though, that he expects a return of Yordan Alvarez in late May. Mm. Which, when would qualify late May?
21st or after.
Okay. So, probably when they come home. Which is my prediction, because I know he doesn't make his city of Tampa. Now, apparently, he's in Tampa, but he doesn't like Tampa. He's not a fan of Tampa.
If he's going to Tampa but not playing, maybe he likes other things about Tampa.
What are you trying to say, Brian?
It's known for its nightlife.
Are you saying his wife summoned him home
the
last time he was there?
As much as Miami?
Could have been. Tampa's known for a nightclub.
I don't know as much as Miami, but they have like a street right by the football stadium.
I remember back in the day, spring break in Tampa was big, but I didn't think it still was.
I'm not talking about spring break.
It's more like a retirement community.
Nah, that's more like St. Pete. Okay. St. Pete's kind of old. It's where the Chop used to be. Astros are playing in the spring training home of the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
George Steinbrenner Field or whatever. George Steinbrenner.
What's the guy you used to do Sunday Night Baseball with Joe Morgan? The Giants announcers, they were calling the A's this weekend?
The Oakland A's.
Oaclamento.
Oaclamento. I love John Miller's
John
awesome.
Miller, there you go.
He's my favorite. 713-780-3776. He does games in flip-flops and shorts.
I love that guy.
And
for ESPN, he used to do flip-flop shorts, dress shirt, tie, and jacket.
I love that guy so much. He's my... I want to be him when I grow up. Him and Granado. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Israel?
What's up? Hey, Brian, thank you, man. You know what I mean? For your integrity, man. That you hung up on me, but you put me back on. Let me tell you something, man. Cam, Myers, he's getting it together. Last year, he batted 219 for the season. For the rookie, he going past expectations. He's not going down. He outbatting Rodgers, Diaz, all these vets. He only 22 years old, bro. He got 3 home runs. Okay, the leader's at 6. Let me tell you something, man. Not only is he went to a new position that he never played. Nobody said he was athletic before the season started. Oh, he was going to adjust. No. He athletic, but he can play baseball, man. Last year he was at Florida State. You know what I'm saying? And now he in the big leagues. He's the youngest one to come up as far as in 2 years. By 24, with Cal Tucker, he had to go. He was back 129, 130. They sent him down 140, and they act like 233 is this for a 22-year-old rookie who playing the defensive. He is a catch. And I'm gonna tell you something. I shout out Dana, man. Dana is gonna build around Dana. I mean, around my man Cam. And Killer Cam, man, he's a guy, bro. Not only that, they scared to run against him already because his arm is a rocket. He get it back to the infield. And I'm a baseball guy, too. Yeah, I do all the sports, man. My mama, my grandmama, from the Negro Leagues type stuff. So let me tell you something. Cam Smith, in about 2 years, and Kyle Tucker came in. When they sit him down, he's bat 150, 120, one. Well, it's no comparison. Cam is a bona fide star. He's going to be in the running for the Rookie of the Year. As long as he gets his time. And my man, yeah, and yesterday, what he did, he charged the team up. In an eighth inning, they got the win. My man got a single. Cam got a single. Boom. Out of the park. Pitch was out of the park. All right, let's go Strollers, baby.
I love it, Israel. Bonafide star. I wouldn't go there yet.
God, I think he said.
I hope he's in the running for Rookie of the Year. Wouldn't be. And it's not. This has never been about Cam Smith being a bad baseball player. Neither one of us thought Cam Smith was a bad baseball player.
Or
would be
athletic.
Bad. Like, we were both very, like, hopeful for his future. Mm-hmm. My biggest point is: would you rather have him in 2025 on the major league team, or would you rather have him in 2032 on the major league team? I stand by the latter. I do feel like they rushed him. Not to say that he can't overcome it and not be fine, but you're not getting the best 6 years out of Cam that you could get. Now, if you wanted to lock him up to an extension whenever he came up, that to me would have been the play. And maybe they do that in the offseason. They wait till after the year. We'll see when it comes to that. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line for Israel on a mobile. Israel, hello?
Man, I'd just like to thank Brian for putting me back on the line. I just want to tell you, we got to go with more melanin. We need the melanin. This boy is going to be a star. He's batting over 700. 700. Oh, you guys, y'all just missed the boat. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Now, it's a little racist with the melanin.
That
thing.
Was.
The boy, that's racist.
That
there.
Was, yeah, that was a bit much.
Yeah, we could have went Israel on a mobile and made fun of his takes. The melanin thing, I think, crossed the line there, Israel on a mobile. You're always welcome
should
back.
Should I have dumped that? But
maybe. Yeah, I think you should have, Brian. I think you dropped the ball
back.
There.
Okay.
He went, not only did he go melanin once, but he went melanin twice.
Yeah, that's on me.
Yeah, you should have dropped that.
I should have
dropped
that.
Now, Israel, you are welcome back. You just can't get racist with it. You can make fun of Israel's vernacular. You can make fun of the way he talks. You can make fun of his takes, for sure. You can make fun of his takes. You can't bring melanin into the conversation not once but twice. Come on. Come on, Israel on a mobile. I love the idea. I love the character. I love all of it. You can't go melanin twice.
Voice was pretty spot on.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. But he went melanin twice. Come on, Israel on a mobile. Man. Killer Bees taught you nothing?
You just tell him that his OPS was like...
He did say the 700 thing.
Yeah.
He did to go there. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's try to bring order back into the show and get away from melanin. Good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The two Israels commented that last segment. A few texts on the good, bad, ugly Astros. Cam Smith reminds me of Javier Baez. I don't see it.
I don't either.
I don't. Maybe athleticism, power.
I mean, Baez did get moved out to the outfield some, but
he played outfield early too.
Strikeout machine, right?
Mm-hmm. He's been good this year, though.
Cam's kind of a strikeout machine. Maybe he's talking about his athleticism. Baez's athleticism, because Baez, his early days with the Cubs, as Joe could tell you, as a White Sox fan, played all over the field. Yeah. I mean, he played all three outfield positions. I think he played everywhere. I think he played everywhere but catcher. Maybe first. Maybe not first. For Javier Baez.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever played first. I mean, for a while there, he was a really, really athletic shortstop.
Yeah, no, for sure. He has played everywhere. So maybe he's talking about his athleticism when comparing him to Baez. Because I don't see a whole lot of comp between Baez and Cam Smith. I don't anyways. What's up with Jordan? Kind of went over that. His hand's still acting up on him. I hope it doesn't come out tomorrow like he has a broken hamate. I don't think that's the case. I think we would find out with imaging, although they were hesitant to go to imaging. But it seems like he's going to be back sooner rather than later. So let's just hang in there, I guess.
I mean, I was thinking, when did they do the imaging?
They said he flew back whenever. Remember originally, though, he doesn't need to.
Right, he didn't need it. Then he did.
So I'm going to guess maybe like Cinco de Mayo range.
So I would think that, yeah, I mean, if it was a Hammett.
They would have known if they did imaging.
It'd already be something that they'd be working on.
It's just one of those, oh, yeah, Tucker's progressing. Oh, fast forward 2.5 months. Ooh. Oh, yeah, by the way, he had a broken shin. Okay. All right. So that's my fear. Like if they did the actual imaging, they would know for sure.
Right.
And that's what's frustrating about the Astros. We don't know if it's bad medicine or if it's bad PR or if it's both.
Do we know which hand it is this time?
I haven't seen.
See,
I mean, I'm not trying to take us back to 2022, but
I haven't seen.
And I hear what you're saying, but the fact is that because it's the Astros medical team and what they're releasing, you really never know and you can't feel confident about it and you don't have that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Oh, well, at least the imaging would have shown that, and he'll be back, you know, sooner rather than later. Because of all of the PTSD for what we've been through, you don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea. We'll know if once he gets activated and he's in the lineup, whenever I'll breathe and sleep well. It was calculated talking about a Spada to charge the team up for a W. That's fair. That's fair. Maybe he's just not a good actor. Maybe that's what I'm kind of knocking a Spada for, is that he's not a great actor.
Yeah, I mean,
not winning a Golden Globe anytime soon.
Yeah, there's been stories out there in the past of how managers have basically faked it to get tossed and some of the things they've done. Whether he was fake, yeah, he just – that whatever he was doing was not – great to look. You didn't get a lot of buy-in.
I like that he was fired up. I like that he defended ESOC. I like that they ultimately won. Just it wasn't the greatest acting job. I don't think that he would be cast on any of the telenovelas on Telemundo. I don't think that Joe Espada has acting in his future. Have you seen that thing going? It's old. It's not new. But every now and then it gets recycled on social media where Alex Cora is like talking to the umpire, and the umpire is like, "Do you want to get run for this?" Like, and they're being cordial.
Uh-huh.
They're being cordial. He's like, "No, I don't want to get run for this. No, blah 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 blah." And he mishears him, and he runs him. He throws him out, and Cora goes, "What the? I didn't want to get run for this." And then he actually got animated.
Oh.
Where like at first he was just kind of like backing up his guys, like having a civil conversation. Umpire asking Cora, "Do you want to get run for this?" He's like, "No, I don't want to get run for this." And he misheard him and chunks him.
Oh yeah,
he takes him out of the game, and then that's when Cora loses it. Cora's like, "I didn't want to get thrown out for that, Bill." It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I have not seen that one. The one that I've always seen is there's an old interview with Tommy Lasorda where he said that he would go out there and he would throw his hat, kick dirt, storm all over the stomp all over the place. And the whole time he was basically saying, "You're doing a hell of a job. I'm just trying to do this to fire up my team. So I'm just going to put on the best act I can to make it look like I'm really mad at you, but I'm really not."
It's one of my favorite things in baseball is the umpire manager ejection, especially when the manager's even. Lasorda's pretty dang good.
Lou Piniella was great.
Piniella was a psycho.
Was awesome because he would pick up bases and throw them and kick dirt. And
Bobby Valentine, when he had the fake disguise, he got tossed and he came back in with the fake disguise.
He got suspended for that.
As he should.
Yeah.
It was pretty damn funny, though.
It was funny.
Because he had the big nose.
Yeah, it was like the Charlie Chaplin glasses with the mustache.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, those are fun, man. I like a good little
manager. Didn't Hal McCray go completely off the deep end one time?
Hal McCray, I remember him going off in his office to the media.
I thought he also did one where he either chest bumped an umpire or whatever, but he was super fired up.
Was it Ray McLeod who stole the base too? I think it was Ray McLeod.
I don't know.
The Pittsburgh Pirate manager back in the day when they used to wear the vest. I think he grabbed the bag and did a Piniella as well.
I thought Lloyd McClendon might have done that for
that's
the Pirates.
That's who it was. Yeah,
that's
like Ray
of.
Ray McLeod, I know, is a football player.
I'm thinking Lloyd McClendon.
Yeah, Lloyd McClendon. Lloyd, that's another one. Lloyd
McClendon was
pretty emotional.
Yeah, he was good. He grabbed the base and like stormed off into the dugout.
Took it with him.
So, Billy I wonder
how long
the
delay
day,
that. I don't remember.
Sure, yeah.
He had help.
Yeah, like who are the best currently? Like right now, today. You don't see it as
you
often.
You really don't.
Cora will get a little pouty. Oh, Boone's pretty pouty.
Boone is very, very emotional, and he does the whole imitation of the umpires. And Mike Shildt, when he was recently, he threw his glasses, and he was throwing everything, and he's like, "That's the only good pair of glasses I had, so I made sure I threw them on the grass." But, yeah, he gets pretty fiery. But you're right. There's not that kind of managerial personality in the past where they would – you were just a ticking time bomb waiting to be entertained.
They're all kind of tame. Uncle Barney agrees with you, says Billy Martin.
Who was the most over-the-top Astros manager to you?
Astros have been pretty tame, too.
Larry Durker had some moments.
Garner? Garner ever lose
it? Not really. I mean, Durker was pretty chill.
What was the, Jimmy Williams?
Yeah. Jimmy?
Yeah, the crotchety man.
They
he was more
really
crotchety with the
of...
media than he was with the umps.
Did Bo Porter ever lose it? I don't remember. They were so bad. There was nothing to lose it about.
They haven't had anybody that's nuts. Uh-uh. No, not really. Not really.
Earl Weaver back in the day used to go off. I'm just trying to think, like, even more current, like, there's not a lot of managers that get demonstrative anymore.
Best ejection was the Braves minor league manager, the guy throwing grenades. That one was funny. He's like doing like the military walk, like the military crawl.
I'd forgotten about that one.
He pulls the pin out and puts it over his shirt. I almost feel like that one's so nuts, though, that it was like a minor league charade. You know how those minor leagues do whatever they can to like, entertain
to draw
the fans?
Attention. And,
it almost felt like that.
It was before his time. Now John Morant's doing an NBA game.
That's what I was tossing thinking. You get the John Morant. Yeah.
Bobby Cox was great, too. Which one of you guys was in love with Xander Schauffele this weekend? How did he fare? I don't even know how he fared.
I have like no idea.
Three over, maybe?
Bob Melvin says somebody. Does Melvin lose his mind?
I don't think so.
I haven't really seen a whole lot of Melvin. Hal Lanier was pretty animated. That's way back.
What's the big X player that was in? He's managing Cleveland now.
Vogt.
Yeah, he has a tendency to get a little salty. Yeah. Oh, the guy that just got fired, Hyde from Baltimore. He would get fired.
That was a spot his brother-in-law.
He would get fired up. Was or is?
Not only did he get fired, but he got divorced.
Yeah, it's all in the same
week. Bad year.
Yeah, it's tough to take. No, he was known to get a little fired, but nothing like we used to see.
Bobby Cox, 162 ejections, a full Major League Baseball season worth.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Instant replay may have helped with managers not exploding and getting ejected. That's probably true. And then plus you have like the track man, too, in the dugout where you can kind of see the pitches and stuff. That's a good point. It probably has helped with that. And then, like, there's also not as – like, a lot of the managers they hire now are kind of, like,
soft.
Sabermetrical.
Yeah.
Like, soft, more analytically, like, inclined, the as classic, opposed to the old baseball man, you know?
I used to love the classic one where he'd go out – the manager goes out to take out his pitcher, but he's just waiting for the umpire to come out to tell him too much time and then lose it and go nuts.
I saw one on social media the other day. It was Dwight Gooden pitching in the playoffs with Cleveland and Mike Hargrove.
Mm-hmm.
Like three pitches in, went to the mound to visit Gooden. Three pitches into the game, playoff game. Three pitches into the playoff game, Hargrove's out there talking to Dwight Gooden. Not even talking, he's waiting for the home plate umpire to get it there. Good old fashioned argument. He got thrown out three pitches into the playoff game. Chris Berman was on the call.
Wow,
yeah, I saw that on social media.
That couldn't have been game one, right? He's holding on to something from the game before.
No, it was bad. They were bad.
That's gutsy to get thrown out of
it. It was a bad zone. It was a really bad zone. But it was game two because they were trailing in the series 1-0 when it happened. So they lost game one, and then three pitches into game two, Hargrove got thrown out of the game because he's defending Dwight Gooden. Whenever he was
in a playoff game.
And they were bad calls, like really bad.
Oh, yeah. You know who will go off? Francona. When Francona loses it, he can get
For sure. But he's also one that's pretty like friendly with umpires.
Yeah.
So, like, it depends on if he gets set off. When he gets set off, he loses it, but he's also pretty, like, cordial in arguments. I like Francona. I'm a fan of
his. I do, too. I've always liked him. Yeah, Tito, and he's got great stories. He's a great storyteller.
He does. Yeah, he's really good. He's a manager and a storyteller. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Let's get to our bad and ugly from the weekend. Some on the text line as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's always a good time out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. I'm heading out there in a few weeks here. Cannot wait. Family's looking forward to it. We're going to have a great old time. And you should be looking to get out there, too. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of whatever is causing you stress and anxiety. Maybe it's the hustle and bustle of the job. Maybe it's just the city traffic. Maybe it's a variety of different things. But get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Get some rest and relaxation. And get your mind off of it. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com, where you escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book that stay now, from open green spaces to wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees. And if you like to fish, drop your line in the water with some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. One of my favorite things about Two Creeks Crossing Resort, too, is that it's close. It's nearby. You're not wasting all your Yordan PTO time by traveling in the car or by plane. You're there in an hour and a half. It's 90 minutes from the city of Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And once you're out there, what are you going to do first? You're going to hike their 92-acre property? You're going to kayak? You're going to play some pickleball? Or are you just going to go to the pool with a drink or two? All those options are terrific. Two Creeks Crossing Resort takes care of their customers. They're doing something every weekend to make sure all of their visitors are having a great time. From glamping to cabins to tree houses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anyone. And a deal going on right now. You can save 20% on your next two-night stay. A great deal. Sunday through Thursday on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Minimum of two nights, max of five nights. You save 20% on your next two-night stay. What a deal. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back when we had some melanin on this team full of whiteness, Dusty Baker used to get fired up every now and then. Dusty was actually pretty chill.
He was chill, but that playoff game was all time.
Yeah, when they threw out a break.
That was all time.
Which was Bush League. Adolis started that whole thing, and they threw out a break, and then they suspended him.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's ridiculous. And plus, this team isn't that white. Are the Astros white? Do the Astros have a bunch of whiteness on their team?
No.
Abreu, Blanco, Brown's white, Dubin's white, Gordon's white,
Camp.
Gusto's white,
Hader's
as white as they
Rogers.
Get.
Oh, you're talking about the white guys.
Brian King, Lance McCullers, Okert, Oert, those guys are all white. Souza white? I think Souza's white, but he has like a Hispanic name. No, I think he's white.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure Bennett Souza's white. Fromber, no. Caratini, no. Yiner, no. Salazar, no. Dubon, no. Isak, absolutely not. He's from Mexico. Jeremy Pena, kinda. Pena's like an Americanized.
Yeah, guy. It's kind of a cross.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers, Camp, white. Camp. Walker, white. Altuve, no. DeZinzo, super white. Chaz, white boy Chaz.
Yep.
It's in the name. Myers, yes. Cam, eh.
So that's what, about half?
Cam's mom's half. White.
Yeah.
It's about half.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that white. Major League Baseball is not a very white sport, really.
No. Well, if it's, well, hold on, though. If it's not a very white sport and half your roster is white, doesn't that make you a white team?
I don't know if half. I don't know if that was half.
I didn't count it, but it felt like half.
We'll have to do a minority report on the Astros.
I'll make sure you let you handle that. I'm too white to handle that. Sure. Yeah.
So Bennett Souza's first name is John. his name's John.
Bennett, his middle name?
It's John Bennett Souza from North Palm Beach,
sounds
Florida.
Like a composer.
He's white.
Sounds like a composer.
He went to Virginia. Like, he is a white guy.
Sounds Bennett like Souza. John. Bennett Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah. He just has he's got a little flair in his last name, but he's super white. John Bennett.
That's a pretty white
North
name.
From North Palm, Florida, who went to Virginia.
Oh, yeah. He's
white.
Sounds, yeah, for sure.
John Bennett is white.
He's probably had relatives that were in the Susan. Declaration of Independence.
My last name is Branham, and I'm super Mexican.
Well, by that definition, you're white.
I mean, I went to U of H. Come on now. The most diverse. I'm from Houston, the most diverse city in the country. Went to U of H, the most diverse university in the country. My mom's last name is Rios.
And I'm Mexican.
See? That's way better than John Bennett from North Palm going to Virginia.
I mean, Jeremy Branham sounds pretty white, though.
It does. I agree. That's why people are confused. I think he was a Met at the time, but former Astro Terry Collins. He was pretty tame with the Astros, though. He would have a few things with the Mets.
That was what, early 90s before, right after Arhau?
Yeah.
I don't really remember. I watched it back then, but I don't really remember how he behaved.
No, he was pretty tame. Biggio hated him, though.
Oh,
Biggio
really?
Hated Terry Collins.
Did
I remember,
really?
Yeah, I don't remember why. I just remember he hated him. Yeah, I remember he hated him. Lou Durocher? How do you say his last name?
No idea.
Lou Durocher.
Uncle Barney says he was an Astros manager famous for his arguments.
I didn't know he managed the Astros.
So maybe he was the most fiery.
I Googled which manager has been ejected the most, and then the best managerial ejections, and Durocher was on the list.
As an Astro?
No, just overall. It was Earl Weaver and Durocher were right at the top.
His nickname, I just put up his wiki. His nickname was Leo the Lip.
Is he the one that used to manage games in a suit?
He only managed two games, though, or 2 years. 2 years for the Astros, 72 and 73.
Did he start?
He must have been old.
Managing in a suit?
I don't know.
Or at some point in his career? I thought there was at least one. Maybe was it?
Did anyone manage
him? Yeah, well, there's at least one old school manager that used to manage in a suit.
No, I remember seeing pictures of it. I can't remember who it was. Connie Mack, who says Google.
Okay.
He wore a suit. For 50 years. More suit as he made. Could you imagine that if Joe Espada came up in a three-piece?
No, I can't see it.
That'd be so hot some places.
Yeah. Man. Tony La Russa, they said, was animated?
La Russa got animated.
Is that before or after the wine?
Maybe during.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the wine tamed him a little bit. He was certainly slower to get out there at his older age. But he got, take him a little bit.
And he got dinged later for the, well, he was do the Diamondbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't Phil Garner throw a chair? I don't remember Garner throwing a chair to y'all.
I don't know. No. Uh-uh.
Maybe in the locker room, but.
I don't remember. What athlete now has the whitest name?
Chaz McCormick's pretty white.
Chaz isn't super white. Now, with an S instead of a Z, he's kind of white.
What's his name?
Do you know any white or non-white Chazes?
No. I only know one Chaz, though.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, it's not a super white.
Sounds like a rich kid. It doesn't necessarily.
Whitest name.
I don't even think it sounds rich. I think it sounds more like trailer.
It sounds pretentious to me.
Chaz?
If you got Chaz, a boy Chaz, that sounds like a rich little white kid.
See, I disagree. I think he's from, like, SEC country living in a trailer. Mm. Chaz with a Z?
Probably got a sister named, like,
no,
Bryn.
That sounds like someone with an inheritance.
Chaz does have an S, so, like, that is pretty elitist. But I think if you spell Chaz with a Z, I think it goes completely opposite.
Well, yeah, I'm basing on what his name actually is, though. It sounds pretentious to me.
Yeah, I would agree with Brian on this. That doesn't happen often.
Whitest name.
He's from Philly.
Mike Trout's a pretty white name.
No. What was he's the ex Astros? Joe Smith.
John Patrick France.
Joe Smith was pretty white.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, very white name.
John Patrick France is pretty white.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady, pretty white.
He might have gone to Virginia, too, and have relatives in the Declaration of Independence.
Didn't he go to, like, Louisiana? John Paul? I don't know. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Good, bad, ugly.
Back?
What's that?
Is he ever coming back?
I don't think he's coming back this year. He had the shoulder surgery, man.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
It was over the offseason. Or last season.
Yeah, I thought he missed most of last season. Oh, somebody sent me
a link. He threw a chair at Phil Garner. Phil Garner was suspended one game after tossing a chair onto the field following his ejection in Detroit.
That's when chairs could be thrown from the dugout instead of having the benches built in.
I wonder if there's video of this. I don't remember this at all. They called him Scrap Iron for a reason.
I was going to say, you got a nickname like Scrap Iron and you didn't do anything as a manager?
That's crazy.
Bobby Knighted it?
I mean, Scrap was from his playing days, but still. Yeah, this doesn't exist on the internet. If anybody has video of Phil Garner throwing a chair, let me know.
Someone's going to send you a reel-to-reel.
Like, I just pulled up... Phil Garner throws chair, and what comes up on YouTube is he throws out the first pitch, and then Bob Knight throwing a chair. That's it. That's all that exists on the YouTube. There is Phil Garner ejections. I'll watch this real quick here.
What's his name in Washington? It can be fiery. Remember with the baseline thing here? Davey Martinez.
Yeah. His bench coach was Chip Hell. Chip Hell, acting head coach when they won Game 6 after he was thrown out for arguing that baseline interference call from Trey Turner.
Chip Hell's like a utility guy.
Yeah, now is the head coach at the Arizona Wildcats. Oh. The Cougars took game one of this past weekend. Took game one.
Games two and three go?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about games two and three.
I was like, what happened? They only played one game. They're playing it this week?
It was
a one-game series.
Everyone, who cares about games two and three? Game one is the one that really counts and that really matters. All right, what do you have for the Astros bat over the weekend?
Well, let's start with the obvious, Jose Altuve, with a 1-for-10, and the one was kind of a squeaker. He is scuffling mightily.
You want to do a Jose Altuve update?
Sure. Brian?
Jose Altuve is down to a .241 batting average. Mm. He's down to a .296 on base. He's down to an 83 OPS plus. We all know the league average is 100. And his WAR is down to -0.9. Jose Altuve, greatest Astro of all time.
I take back what I said about a week ago where his OPS plus was Dubon-esque. It's now below Dubon-esque.
Is it below Dubon?
Yeah, I think it is.
Jose. Now, here's one thing I do like what Joe Espada is doing tonight. Jose Altuve has been moved down to the order for the second time this year. He's now he's batting third tonight.
Think Joe did it or think Jose asked for it?
No, I think Joe did it because Isak's batting second and he was really good last night in the one spot. I mean, he was 1-for-4, but the one hit was the 3-run go-ahead home run. Mm-hmm. This is getting closer and closer to what I want the lineup to be. Whenever Yordan comes back, I've been on record of saying that I want it to be Peña, Isak, Altuve, Yordan. We are one Yordan away from being the ideal Branham lineup. I think Espada listens to the show.
Do I get lineups that still have DeCenzo and Cam playing corner outfield?
When Yordan comes back?
Yeah.
Not when Fromber and Hunter Brown are pitching.
No.
The other days, maybe.
Yeah, I'm saying
maybe.
The other 3 days, can I get some of those?
I think you might.
Now, are we going to start changing our school of thought? Will Altuve get to 2,500 hits?
Yeah, he's having a hard time getting 3,000.
He ain't getting 3,000. If this is bad.
He's having a hard time getting 3,000.
Yep.
I wonder if, because it doesn't seem like Espada has wanted to hit Yordan fourth. I wonder what that means when Yordan does actually come back.
He should be hitting fourth.
He didn't want him to hit fourth, but in part because he had good Jose Altuve.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want him to hit fourth, let's just say he sticks him at third. Now where is Altuve hitting?
Hold on. If Yordan's hitting third,
yeah,
whenever he comes back,
like
if we're
sticking with Pena and Paredes as our 1-2, Yordan comes back, and for some reason, Espada is dead set on having him third.
Sixth or seventh?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were making it, if you eliminated like what a player's past has been, his baseball card, and you just went strictly based
on the back
like,
of his baseball card,
what he currently is today,
he's six.
Because
Yiner's coming on.
Rather have Yiner ahead of him? Rather have Walker ahead of him? Now, Caratini's not going to play as much because Yordan's going to DH. So, six or seven?
Yeah.
I think six.
Yeah.
Who do you trust more right now in a big at bat? Game on the line, big at bat, Jose Altuve or Cam Smith?
Jose Altuve.
Altuve.
Y'all are back of the baseball card, people.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think experience matters, especially when
that's
it's
back
really,
a baseball card.
But it's, well, okay.
I mean, Cam Smith over the last 2 weeks has been night and day better than Jose Altuve.
But Cam Smith in like a pressure cooker situation with everything on the line.
He had a base hit that sparked the rally yesterday.
A lot totally different.
Did you see what Jose Altuve did the other day? Chased a 3-2 pitch 3 feet out of the zone
dirt. I'm not defending where he is right now. It's just like chasing everything sweeper to like 3 feet off the plate. But I just think that situation matters. And Cam, for the first time ever, in like a do-or-die playoff situation like Jose's been in too many times to count, I'd take Altuve.
I think the people will be on your side. We're going to Twitter poll it. 713-780-ESPN. I got some bads. Blankers, I think, still has something to get to, and the Hive does as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.